This is Katie B, and you are about to listen to an early episode of my podcast. Now the show is called the Move Your DNA Podcast, and you can find all episode transcripts and the show notes to this episode at nutritiousmovement.com/podcast. Enjoy.
You're listening to Katie Says, the podcast that helps you become aligned and well. Join us for conversations with Katie Bowman, biomechanist, creator, and director of the Restorative Exercise Institute, author, teacher, blogger, mother, and total body nerd. Understand the mechanical causes of modern ailments, learn how to fix them, and restore yourself to a more functional state of natural human movement. We hope you find the general information on biomechanics, movement, and alignment informative and helpful, but it is not intended to replace medical advice and shouldn't be used as such. And now, your host, Danny Hammett.
Hey, this is Danny and this is Katie Says. This is an interesting show because we are recording this live at the beach, which stands for the Body Education Alignment Center for Health. That's in Ventura.
Actually at the beach, though, kind of.
Well, we're kind of
at the beach. We can see the beach.
Yeah. I haven't been to the beach yet. I need to get to the beach.
What?
So I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a head cold, so forgive any snorkel, snuffles, or sneezes. And this is being recorded on three different mobile devices, none of which are intended for this, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But it's fun, and we don't get to do this very often. The reason we're all here is because this is where people that are studying at the Restorative Exercise Institute do part of the final part of their schooling and testing.
Yeah, one of the places.
One of the places. It's beautiful here, and the people here are so cool. I just decided to pin Katie down and make her record a podcast.
In my free time.
In all her free time.
My free time.
Yep. And then
and happy to do so.
Then she's going to crochet me a hat. But what I... in your free time.
Right. Okay, got it.
I have to say to Katie and the podcast of Katie Says, congratulations, because Katie Says was voted one of the 19 best health and wellness podcasts by Greatist, that's greatest with an IST, .com. In their list, and that was picked up by the Huffington Post, and that's a huge honor because we're in there with a bunch of amazing people that are doing amazing things,
like seasoned podcasts.
Yeah,
not
like
really,
not
like mean, what do we have 12 under
I know,
our belt?
We're squatted on the floor with foam blocks and an iPhone right now, and
so but greatest, it is the greatest with an I.
Greatist.com, and you can check that out. So congratulations, Katie, for that,
and as well
and
you,
to
Danny.
Us. Congratulations to us,
and thank you everyone who's listening because that's the real winner here.
Yeah. Who's the heroes? You're the heroes.
Woo! All right.
Okay, so today, Katie and I are going to be talking about boobs.
Boobs.
Boobs. Let's all say it.
Boobs. Boobs.
So it's a boob show, or rather a show about boob health.
Every show is kind of the boob show, though.
Well, since
we're on it. I mean, because we're on it, but yeah. Right. Breasts.
So,
it's about breasts.
So the first part of the show, we're going to explore what boobs need when we're referring to natural movement. And we'll discuss what are natural and unnatural loads that we are placed on the breasts and what sort of necessary loads are lacking in our modern underwire life.
Okay.
The second part of the show, we'll answer some boob health related questions that concerns folks have about going braless, how to transition to more bra-free time if you're thinking about going that way, and for you and your boobs, questions you have about you and your boobs. Oops. And any other questions people have about our lovely dangly parts. And then Katie, at the end, will hopefully squeeze some some movement in there to help us put all this new information to work. So maybe if you have a stretch or two.
That sounds good.
Okay, at the end, I'm going braless in honor of this show. So.
I can hear it in your voice, actually.
Really?
It's just a little lower.
Yeah. Husky and
a little.
Bowlers.
That's right.
Could be the head cold, too.
Oh.
A good question to start with for me that I want to know is, like, how are they hanging there? What is it? Ligament, skin, fat? I mean,
that's a good question. Well, there's suspensory ligaments there that are holding, I mean, they're in a skin container, which is in a fascial container, but there's also suspensory ligaments, and all of that stuff that I was mentioning before is connected to the muscle between the breast and the rib cage. So lots of different connection systems, I guess, if you will.
Okay. So aside from breastfeeding, which we know that's what boobs are for, right?
Maybe. I mean, that's one of the...
What other kind of natural loads are they designed to... What else are they for besides breastfeeding?
Well, who knows what they're for? But I think, you know, we talk about natural movement and in Move Your DNA, I just kind of introduced this idea that you're not moving naturally as well as your parts aren't moving naturally. So what are the motion, what are the loads to the breasts? What are the natural loads to the breasts? And that would be feeling their own weight.
Yeah.
Right? That's one of them.
You mean by like...
So it's kind of interesting when you talk about the weight of something, because that's always from a standing still perspective. So they're under their weight when you're standing still, but also it's natural for them to be moving around as you are. So the more movement you do, it would be natural for your breast to come with you, right? So... Bending over, standing up, dancing.
And we're talking about like untethered.
Right now, I'm just talking about the breast in its natural form, so not with anything.
The wild breast.
The wild, like the breast in the wild.
Yes, like Marlon.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm surprised there's not more of that. Like the breasts galloping across the opening of National Geographic or Omaha Mutual. Is it Mutual Omaha?
Wild Kingdom.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a total flashback.
Yep. So leopards and breasts.
Right. And breast leopards.
Yeah.
And leopards' breasts. So movement as you are moving. But then there's, you know, you've got musculature underneath the breast. So the movement of that musculature also moves the breast, or doesn't, depending on how much that musculature moves. Like, and in general, you can think about the musculature from the sternum moving, which is, where your necklace hangs, you know, that the breastplate, or, you know, I'm trying to think of like more layman's terms for the sternum. But if you find where a necklace would hang or a chain and find that notch and you travel all the way down to the bottom of the sternum, there's that tip, that xiphoid process. If you trace from that sternum out to the shoulder attaching to your humerus, one arm, your upper arm bone. So there's this musculature that's going between there. So that muscle underneath, as it's doing its job, contracting, releasing, it's moving the tissue that's on top of it. And I pull that out a little bit because when you think about movement, you tend to think about like big muscles, arms, boobs, but I'm thinking more of the cellular movement. You know, what is the cells experience? And so as your, let's just say your pectoralis, your chest muscles are doing what they're doing, they're pushing and pulling on your breast as well. And then breastfeeding is an emotion, you know, there's a movement there, as is, so a milk production. So like I separate between the two. So there's making milk.
I never thought about that.
So there's milk, you know, there's milk being produced and coming out and moving out. But then there's also the loads to the nipple. So the baby's busy doing something there.
Well, and they're with their little hands when they're kneading.
There's that too. That's not always that fun, but it's there. It's happening. So there's the mouth kneading, and you know the funniest thing I saw was there used to be a horse on a local ranch, a puppy. We call it the horse puppy. And when it wants milk, or there's cows kind of by us, when they want milk too, they whack their head into the sack. I'm trying to think. So wow. Like there's the udder.
Yeah, but for a horse.
And there's the teat.
I think it's a teat.
The teat. So I was just corrected on this one time in class by a veterinarian. She said the udder is actually the sac, and the teat are the things that you grab. You milk the teats, and so it was whacking the udder. Just like wailing on it. So then I didn't feel so bad about my kids mangling, my breasts. Yeah. Yeah, so there's that. There's also temperature, right?
Temperature.
So there's a response to temperature. Or excitement, which is all kind of tends to look like the same response. So these are like natural loads. And if you think about them, how many of those natural loads have you experienced over a lifetime? Might be reduced by your temperature-controlled environment,
clothing,
bras that are minimizing those types of movement. But then I also like to say, too, that the weight of your breast is probably not the natural weight of your breast.
What do you mean by that?
Well, so it's when you're talking about natural movement and how things occurred in nature, the weight of people's breasts might not be the same natural weight of their breast were they eating a natural diet, right? I think that becomes important later on. We're talking about, should I shuck my bra? I think it's actually chuck my bra, not shuck my bra. It's not corn.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So should I chuck my bra or not? because I want to go natural, it's like, well, there's lots of components of natural. So so when I say breast under its own weight, I'm always talking about like its natural weight.
Okay.
There might be more, but that's all I can think about.
I mean, you guys
are
thinking about like just like temperature being a natural load to your boobs.
Yeah.
See, everybody's nodding, so they all agree. Temperature.
Temperature.
Who would have thought it?
Or excitement.
Yeah.
I mean, it's respond. Like you respond in all sorts of, you're moving lots of different ways besides just, you know, like what you do for exercise. So we talk about like erector pili, the horripilation, or another word for goosebumps. Those are lots of tiny muscles, millions of muscles all over your body. And the same thing, like parts of your breast are similar in that way. Like they respond to temperature by shifting shape. It's movement, maybe.
Now that we kind of have a clear idea of like what those loads are that the breast is designed to take, or is, you know, in its natural...
Or has experienced. Yes, has experienced in its natural state for a long time.
What are some things that we do or don't do? What are some unnatural loads that we place on it, or lack of natural movement that we do just in our everyday non-mutual of Omaha life?
Non-wildlife.
Yeah, sitting at a desk or, you know...
Well, I think it's... I mean, you could probably look at the list that I just gave and you can come up with the things, the person listening.
Okay.
The millions of people listening to this podcast right now can come up with the things that they're doing that are undermining or removing the natural load. So yes, there's non-natural loads, but then there's also introduction of unnatural loads. So like I talked about, like bras, right? So bras, lifting or pressing. There's also the lack of arm movement in general.
Like reaching, or only just reaching out in front of us.
Well, like, yes, or... I mean, what do you do with your arms the bulk of the time? You're on your computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that position? And then imagine that you had nothing and had to get everything, and imagine what you would be doing with your arms.
Yeah,
you know?
Reaching behind me, in front of me, to the side of me.
Yes, and not even just the position, but the work that you... I mean, you're pulling things out.
You're
lifting things up and down. You're carrying your kids. You're digging all day for food. You're reaching up and you're clambering to get where you need to go. I mean, we're missing quite a bit. And so as far as like the natural environment to your breast, we're at a seriously compromised environment for sure. And temperature control. I mean, it's a nice comfortable temperature here inside these walls. You know, there's no air conditioning on, but most people live in a place where they're not constantly responding to temperature. And we talked about that next in the ball show, you know,
That's right.
That temperature is a big natural
load
or the response to temperature is a big natural load to these parts.
It's true. So as far as, shoulder movements matter, because your shoulder, which I bet a bunch of people wouldn't think about their shoulder being important to their boob, but it is.
It's right there.
It's right there. So, I mean, that's something to think about.
Yeah.
It's more than just the boobs and whether or not you go braless.
Yeah, breast health is larger than the bra.
Yeah.
I just think where everything's a vacuum.
Right.
And hopefully your breast is not in a vacuum right now. Although I shouldn't judge.
Well, you know, what I do in my free time
that's
is
right.
your business.
That's right.
But I think that's an easy way to think, just that because the first thing we're going to focus on are feet health, we're going to look at the shoes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of a natural.
Yeah, it is. And it's like.
Maybe if I just go braless, but I could go braless and still have my hands out in front of me at the computer all
right.
day and then commuting for 3 hours in front of me.
Right.
And cooking like that, like never moving, so I wouldn't really be doing 100% of what would be good for my breasts.
No, and while a bra is not, the idea of a bra or reducing the support of a bra is a cool place to start because it doesn't take any extra time. You know, if you're talking about how much you're using your arms and all that other stuff, that changes a lot. It requires a larger change of the way that you live, but changing your bra, it's just putting something different on in the morning or taking something off earlier. It's not like you have to add any more reps to your life. There's no more reps.
That's true.
That being said, there's a lot of people, when we get to the questions, I bet there's a lot of people who are like, there's no way I could take off my bra. It's like, fine.
So
let's do these other things. Let's talk about shoulder health and arm motion.
Right.
And so I think that if you can think about your breasts as a part of your shoulder girdle instead of as something like some sort of frosting on top of your body that's not related to anything else, you can improve your breast health by improving the environment of where it lives.
That's awesome. Frosting. It's not just
breast frosting.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. So you can go multiple ways with that. You know, it's like I can't live without my bra, or I need my bra.
Right.
I'm not comfortable depending on, you know, how I feel about that, but there's still things that I can do about it. And well, we can just move into questions now.
We're about
at that time, but for people that are there
spit it out.
I'm gonna spit it out. Are there health benefits to wearing a bra?
I don't know. if you're...
I mean, bras aren't that old, really.
Bras are pretty new. Also, you know, again, if we talk about natural load or the weight of the breast, what if your breast is unnaturally heavy? Mm-hmm. In which case, the breast is providing support. The bra is providing support. So I think you can usually find a benefit to something. However, it's kind of like an orthotic, right? Your bras, in that case, like the bras are like an orthotic. They're supporting a structure of you that's not functioning right, mm-hmm. you know, big air quotes around, you know, correctly or the word right. But that for a lot of people, it could bring about relief. But when you look at your relationship with the bra, there's a chance that you might have slapped it on before you ever needed it. Like, and so are we training our breasts to be out of shape? Like, that's my question. You know, people are worried right. about the questions like, what about like, what's going to collapse? They need to be support.
Yeah, that's the number one concern and fear right. that came up is, are my boobs going to droop? Are they going to be down at my knees? Like, the ladies in National Geographic.
Yeah. No, that's so funny because we talked about this before yes. about the pictures that everyone goes to look at in National Geographic. Yes. I happened to stay over New Year's at this rustic cabin, and it was stuffed full of National Geographic.
No way.
No, like a whole room, like hoarder style.
We were just talking about that.
Hoarding of National Geographics from the
Did you pour
50s and 60s.
Them?
I read all of them. That's how much okay. fun I am on New Year's Eve.
And you're making fun of me for my boobs in a vacuum.
No, I should have done that instead. Yeah. That would have been a better way to spend my
New
Year's Eve.
You read all of them. Did you come across any of those pictures we talked about?
I came across the pictures of lots of boobs, and none of them were droopy. So I'm wondering if it's not a small, if it's like kind of like a cliche. Like if there are some pictures of mm-hmm. droopy boobs somewhere, because I looked at a lot of boobs on New Year's Eve. Hordes of breasts, you know, in different... I love National Geographic.
Wow,
for that.
I played yeah. Twister with my kids yeah. and went to bed.
I know.
Okay.
So we have our own version of fun.
Okay.
So
you
I
didn't
think,
find those. Well.
So I mean, not to say that they're not there. I've seen those pictures too. It's mm-hmm. just that everyone goes to this picture and says, "I don't want that." It's like, let's look at lots of breasts. You know, you've seen one, you've seen them all. No, you need to see them all. An old boyfriend told me that. True story.
Okay, so the. Boob sag, maybe you're saying then if I went out and I took off my bra that eventually they might be able to hold themselves up if I use the muscles underneath.
Yeah, so like you have to think about the whole picture. Yeah. It's always whole body with me, right? So every time the question is like, we can talk about boobs, but I'm always going to be talking about whole body again. So I'm just saying that the state of your breast has to do with your whole body movement and your diet and what you do all of the time. It's not really, again, just what's happening on the front of your chest. And so your suspensory ligaments, like how are they supposed to work if they never actually get to feel the load of your breast?
Right.
But maybe your breast is too large, in which case you can downgrade the support. You can slowly, you know, it's like my next book's coming out, Transitioning Well to Minimal Footwear. Because we have this idea like barefoot's natural, so we'll take off our shoes and we run around and we get injuries. Because there's this transition period needed. You have to slowly give back the work to the feet. So same thing, you have to slowly give the work to the tissues of the breasts. And you also have to strengthen the muscles that are part of the breast support system, which is your shoulder girdle. So maybe it's upper body work or hanging for you before you think about mm-hmm. ditching the bra.
On that note, then, would a bra or a boob ever be too big? I mean, if the suspensory ligaments and the muscles could be conditioned to hold it.
Well, tissue doesn't endlessly adapt. Tissue doesn't endlessly adapt. So I do think you can have a breast. I do think you can have an unnaturally, for you, large breast. Okay. Not to say that everyone should have the same breast size. It's just, again, relative to yourself, is your breast your natural size? You know, it's like, what are the factors that influence breast size? And I would, if I could make a mechanical list, and then there's a whole bunch of things that I don't even know to include about what's influencing the breast size, how many of those are affected by lifestyle and, you know, being in the tank, so to speak? Because, right. Our breasts are totally in the tank.
They are.
They're in a tank. It's a breast tank. It's a tank full of breasts. which is the best zoo ever. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. That might be good.
We need to ditch this podcast thing and open up the breast tank.
I know. You come up with all these good ideas.
Be on the greatest list.
Yep.
Top one best place to go for New Year's
Look
Eve.
At a breast tank.
Breast tank.
Would you be like bobbing or watching them?
Depends on what the tank's full of.
Or if like with dolphins, you could go in.
It's like ride the breast. You could take a picture or like ride the breast for 5 minutes.
With your yellow life preserver. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad you can't see what we're doing with our hands because it's good stuff.
Well, it's kind of misleading. It makes me think like
No. Sorry. I was pretending I was in the tank.
Only you could see what I'm doing with this motorboat right now.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, focus. We should not have an audience. We need to not have an audience. We really need to get back to doing this on our own. So anyway, more questions.
Oh, so we have a ton of questions. We already answered those questions, and I was talking to some people here, and there's all sorts of different bras. There's athletic bras, underwear bras, I don't know, push-up bras. There's all sorts of things out there. What do you wear?
I wear, typically when I wear a bra a lot of the time, and it's always a sports bra. I don't own anything now that's not a sports bra. I don't have any push-up or underwire bras, so nothing fancy.
It could be fancy. It could be sporty and fancy.
It's sporty, right. It's sporty.
So for underwires, that's a lot of people wear underwires.
Yeah.
And they're comfortable for a lot of people. They're uncomfortable for a lot of us. Mm. And there's concerns about that stiffness obstructing like lymph flow or what was the question? It was electromagnetic flow or
the flow of electrons.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. So I don't know anything about the flow of electrons based on something putting on the body externally. And as far as the flow of lymphatics, you know, I don't know about the flow of lymphatics from external pressure, such as an internal system. However, if the external device is limiting or changing the loads to the body underneath that, you know, that can be a potential effector of lymphatic function, I guess.
Okay.
For me, the way that I see things like lymphatic flow is tied up to, again, the health and the use of your musculoskeletal system. I don't see it as really a separate system. So it would fall under, like, if you wanted to improve the lymphatics of your breast, you have to improve the musculoskeletal function of your shoulder girdle. That, again, it's not like the breast lymphatic system is dependent on shoulder motion, arm motion,
right.
Shoulder
just,
motion.
Just like before, it's not any one thing. It has to all
right. And so, I mean, I haven't worn an underwire bra for years. Something tells me that you did. That's the way you said that question. Like, it's uncomfortable for some of us. So do you wear one ever?
No.
Okay.
Not for years.
All right.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I mean, we should have done some research. We should have actually been changing bras during this podcast, kind of like, you know, the Oscars. They're changing dresses. Yeah. The hosts are changing dresses so we could talk about it. But I wonder if it's underwire, you know, I mean, it could limit rib cage motion, right?
Yeah.
So if it's pressing on the rib and then you have muscles in between the ribs that are supposed to be moving the ribs kind of individually, which is part of the lymphatic system. You had a lot of lymph nodes running down the sternum.
Well, that
could
just be any too tight bra or ill-fitting bra.
But, you know, wire is more pressure. Wire is more pressure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's true. And I think that's number one, is if you're going to wear a bra, be comfortable.
Yeah.
Be comfortable in it.
Well, if you're going to, but you know what? Comfort means different things to different people. A lot of people are comfortable by the way they look in their clothes. Like there's a discomfort that comes from not looking a certain way. So I don't want to leave those people out. But if you're hearing this right now and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to reduce the unnatural loads to my breasts, you could swap out an underwire for something with a little less structure, in which case you're still feeling supported or feeling comfortable about appearance, you know, because so much of it is about how it looks for other people's comfort. You know, maybe you don't care about how it looks, but
and that's
you're
a whole cultural
that's a
issue.
Whole
that's
separate
a whole thing.
Yeah,
that we could just talk about for hours.
We could, but I can't change the culture. No,
enough.
I couldn't change the culture, but I can help you change your bra.
Can we talk about that then?
Yeah, do it.
I wear an underwire and I don't want it anymore, but I still maybe want to wear a bra or maybe I want to go braless all, you know, at night and on the weekends, just like a barefoot shoe. I suppose I should transition, right?
Yeah, there's a transition, right? So you're having to slowly give the loads to your tissues so that they can respond and become stronger. So the easiest thing to do is put your bra on later and take it off sooner. That's when you're at home. A lot of people sleep in their bra. You can stop sleeping in your bra because the loads are pretty small compared to like standing and jogging or mm-hmm. whatever else that you're doing. Okay. Work on your shoulder girdle mechanics. Again, that and Move Your DNA, there's that whole swinging, hanging section. You know, get your upper body stronger so that you can change. You know, like a lot of people say, I don't like the shape of my breast when it's without a bra. It's like, mm-hmm. well, what's your strength of your shoulder girdle look like? Because the shape of your breast will change.
Because that can change, and I think that's important.
That's huge. That's huge. That's a huge thing to do.
Let that be known.
Yes, it's not just...
That can change. So Move Your DNA is a fantastic book. Anyone with a human body should read it. But just say, I'm listening right now, I'm at my desk, and I just want to know, well, you're saying increase my shoulder girdle movement. What does that mean? So what can I do just right now at work?
Yes. With your bra on or off, your choice.
Well, I'm in a cubicle, so I'll keep it on.
Okay. Party pooper.
Yeah.
All right. No vacuums in your cubicle? Anyway, so hold your hands behind you. Grip your hands behind you. Link your fingers behind you. And if you're sitting and you don't want to stand up, because it would be too conspicuous that you're listening to a podcast at work. Just weird. Let your arms fall over your head. So you have to bend forward. So you can either just, sitting in your chair, let your chest go to the top of your legs and let it come over. Or I'm going to stand up. You can stand up and let it go all the way over. Oh, so good.
There's a lot of people. My shoulder girdle needs a lot of work.
There's a lot of people listening in this studio audience on their backs not doing this exercise. It's weird. It's even weirder that we're talking about them like they're not here.
Uh-huh. Some of them are doing it. That's good.
Some. So a lot of people have done this stretch, right? And if you feel like, if you can't get to your hands, if you're like, my shoulders are so tight.
Yep, so she's got her hands linked behind her.
Yes, they're kind of linked behind me, like I'm weaving them. Yeah. Grab a strap or a belt or a scarf or a broom or anything that lets you get your hands closer together. Then, if you did make it to your hands, though, switch the hand holding. Hold your hands the uncomfortable way and do it again because it changes. I'm doing it right now. It feels good. Oh. All right.
And so that's something that you could do right now.
Yeah, anyone.
Which is awesome. You don't have to have, like, breasts to do this. This is, I mean, everyone needs to work more on their shoulder girdle.
Everyone needs a healthier shoulder girdle.
Yep. So you can do that and then read the book and get further into other things you can do. I mean, you shouldn't go out and just hang on monkey bars if you haven't done that.
No, everything's like stepwise.
This is a good first step, I think, to do it and to realize where you're at with that. And that's it. You've got us stretched, and knowing now that the health of your breasts isn't just nutrition or what you're putting on them, it's a whole body thing.
Everything
it's the
is.
Movement Everything that happens is, yeah. and the loads we place on them. So this was fun.
If you found that informative, then look for our next episode, which is the...
The ball show. Yep. So dangly bits for both boys and girls. We cover it all.
And everyone in between.
Bump. Shh.
Or Thanks we for... shouldn't cover it all.
That's what we'll talk about.
All right.
So thanks for listening. Have a good walk.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit Katie Bowman's edutaining blog, katiesays.com. For books, online classes, downloads, and continuing educational courses with Katie, visit the Restorative Exercise Institute at restorativeexercise.com. Her most anticipated book, Move Your DNA, will be available in September 2014. You can learn more about Danny Hemmett at moveyourbodybetter.com and dannyhemmett.com.